Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This hour is brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their website, 56David.com. That's 56David.com.
The all-new Bernstein and Holmes Show, middays 10 a.m. till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Dan Bernstein.
Yes, I'm wearing a yellow shirt. You've never seen me in a yellow shirt before because I don't think I've ever worn one. Lawrence got this for me. It was so sweet. He was on a website and they had like vintage old hip-hop stuff. No one in my wife of 23 years had never seen me in a yellow shirt before.
Lawrence Holmes.
Do you want me to get you the one that's in white instead?
No. Okay, you kidding? That'll be like gravy stains on it. 30 seconds. I cannot own white clothing. Pants, forget it. I'm not allowed to wear like salmon color and like dark pinks and stuff like that because my wife just will immediately throw them out.
Because you're not Steve Harvey.
I'm not?
Name a place that older women go to find young men.
I'm going to say the hospital.
Bernstein and Holmes, your midday destination for Chicago sports talk.
I'd have to check, but I'm pretty sure that matches the color of the tape of the Paul's Boutique album.
On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. I'm Dan Bernstein. That's Lawrence Holmes. We're Bernstein and Holmes, and we're leading you up once again to Cubs baseball at about 12:40 or so. We've got Josh Nelson and Mark Grody and Joe Ostrowski and Steve Stone and a whole bunch of other things as we digest yet another incredibly frustrating, maddening White Sox performance. And like you say, that we keep allowing that even after White Sox losses, we look at their opponent and we get the lay of the land and we look at when Dylan Cease starts, and we always do the same thing. We always say, okay, now go ahead and do what you're supposed to do anytime. And what's going to happen is it's going to be the end of September and we're going to be sitting here and they're going to have 79 wins. And we're like, come on now.
It's still early, Dan, and it's still cold, and that's why the White Sox. Yes. That's why the White Sox can't hit lefties. Like it's set up for you last night. Now maybe they flip it around,
right?
And I'm going through some stuff when it comes to the White Sox. Like I feel like I've gotten a big portion of my point across from an anger standpoint. Like where I've staked out my piece of land on where I stand on the White Sox. And now I'm trying to get to a place where I could just enjoy them and try and root for them. But oh, it's hard.
It's really hard.
It's really hard.
They're a hard team to like because you don't respect them. It's hard to root for a team you don't respect.
That's well said. Because when you're watching these games, you know some of the stuff is just going to be really, really bad. And in last night's game, it sets up for you perfectly because not one, not two, but three left-handers, and usually this White Sox group pounds left-handers. Everyone was super excited yesterday. Like if you were going through White Sox Twitter before the game, you're like, hey, it's the lineup. It's the lineup that everyone had envisioned other than Luis Robert being in center field, but he was at least in the lineup. Hey, it's the lineup. Hey, it's the lineup versus a lefty who's making his debut. Great. And then you get boom, 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 wow. Like, that's what you get from them offensively. And when they end up in these games that are tight offensively, your prescription for them, Dan, has been money. Hit the ball out of the ballpark. The other stuff will take care of itself. It doesn't matter as much when you're hitting the ball out of the ballpark that you have a guy that's probably at the end of his outfield career and a guy who shouldn't be playing outfield at all playing outfield.
Not only is it the panacea for so many of their ailments, it's also how you win the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
That is how you win in the playoffs.
Unfortunately, we've got some numbers that say that that's going to be difficult for the White Sox when it comes to hitting the ball out of the ballpark because launch angle not great for them. So there's that. Like you're walking into it, and there's a ball that Vaughn didn't get to that ended up going over the fence on a double. There's the crazy play where you can see Pollock like accelerating, like, do you have it or not? And Vaughn ends up catching it, but then he's out of position to throw home. And you get a run out of that. It's all of those little things that when they play a game that's inside the margin, no one trusts them to win a game. You don't trust them to do it. So you've got to bash. Like, this team has got to bash and mash their way to it. I think their pitching is actually good enough. I think their pitching's good enough to win. But these guys in the middle of your lineup have got to hit. And it would be nice if you could count on where you are defensively to like just having the right guys in the right spots, and there's going to still be mistakes, but at least having that gives you a better chance. But that's why you look at last night's loss and you look at the way that the roster is constructed. This is where there is blame for Rick Hahn. And Josh Nelson, I'm going to ask him specifically about something he said on the Sox Machine podcast a couple days ago that will really shed light on it, and I want him to do it in his particular way. But if you look at it, you look at the guys that are out there and you say, this person is not this. But we've got no choice because this person can hit. Okay, we've got another person that we've got to put out there because they can hit. So they have to be in the lineup, and we only have the one DH spot. Then you have a guy behind the plate that right now is on the struggle bus. Yasmani Grandal hitting the ball is a problem for him. But he has to do this at the major league level because of the way that the White Sox set up how their guys come back from injury. Robert has to DH because you're not quite sure that he can play center field every day, but you need him at the major league level, so he's doing all of this stuff at the major league level. That, to me, is trying too hard to make a lot of things fit that this season don't necessarily fit.
Well, it also means your mainstays have to be the reason why you win these games. Tim Anderson has got to hit the ball over the fence, and he's got to field his position.
Yep.
At a minimum.
And we've seen 2 months of him not being able to do that. He's getting on base. Like, he is hit on base, but it's been singles mostly. His at-bats last night were trash. 0-for-5 with 3 strikeouts, and he never looked like he was in an at-bat last night.
Never was on top of the at-bat.
Yeah, and that's the part that hurts, because you're hoping that these guys are all taking that next step in their development, not just as players, but as leaders too, and they're not doing it. That's a team, that Rangers team to me is dangerous, and I see you smirk at me when I say that.
You know, I understand what you mean, and it's weird. There's something about the angle of the center field camera, and there's something about their grass that makes every Rangers team, just from experience, just my psychological schema, something about the way the game is presented on television makes them look better than they are. Does that make any sense?
Yes, they're not good. I don't want to try and convince people that they're good. All I'm saying is that they haven't quit in games against the White Sox this season.
Right. They don't just roll over for it.
Like, Oakland quit. Oakland was like, all right, you got us. After the Gavin Sheets home run on Saturday, Oakland was like, you know what? You got us. We're gonna lay down the rest of this game, and we're going to lay down on Sunday too. Same thing with Kansas City. Kansas City, first game, they fought it through. Second and third game, like, you got us. We're bad, and we're going to be all right. But this Texas team, against the White Sox this year, if you look at the games that they've played, they haven't quit, and they've got their lineup is just good enough where you go, oh, that guy might end up being a guy, or this guy is kind of dangerous at the plate, like that sort of thing.
Cleveland's the same way.
For sure.
Cleveland's very similar in that regard. They've got guys who might end up being good, but they're playing harder than you are.
Well, that's another problem. But along with that, I'm listening. I wanted you to hear this.
I've been dreading this.
I wanted you to hear. So we promised that we were going to play something that every White Sox fan needs to hear, but is probably going to infuriate you. Our friend Jason Goff does an incredible podcast called The Full Go on The Ringer. It's really great. Wherever you get podcasts, you should be listening to it. Check it out on Spotify for sure. Jay does a great job. He had like a therapy session. It was him, our buddy Tanny, and Eno Saris. He's a quant. And remember, if Eno is a guy that breaks down numbers, okay? I want you to listen to what Eno said about the White Sox from the 30,000-foot view and when he went to go visit the White Sox in the clubhouse.
I think you had a young team, a young, vibrant, exciting, multicultural team, and you put Tony La Russa at the top of it. Like, what? What were you thinking? Like, one of the first questions was like, what do you think of Tim Anderson taking a knee or whatever? It's like, right. He deserved that. Mm-hmm. He deserved that. Because in the past, he said he didn't like it. So like, it's the wrong energy. And I'm not a vibes reporter. You know, normally I'm a, you know, stick to the stats, numbers guy. I don't usually like that question. Like, what's the vibe in the clubhouse? But
we're not hitting enough home runs and we can't pick up the baseball. Other than that, everything's good.
That's the vibe. Like, I can tell you what the vibes are. Let me look at their WRC plus. Let me look at their fielding numbers. You know, those are where the vibes are at. This one time I was hanging out, I went to the clubhouse, I was in the dugout, and there was literally a coach that had to turn Tony La Russa away because he was going to walk through a hitter's meeting and he didn't know the hitter's meeting was going on. So it was kind of like, hey, you know, he had like a handler. You know, and I was like, this is weird. You know, this is some weird stuff. So I think, you know, I think people can see that. And I think that sort of nationally, Tony is not as admired a figure as maybe the White Sox owner thinks he is.
Oy. Oy. Yeah, that's that actually is right along the lines of so much of what we've been seeing of the idea of Ethan Katz literally steering Tony La Russa physically and guiding him toward the bullpen phone.
Uh-huh.
Ooh.
So look.
I would love to know, who is that handler?
So there's two things there that caught my ear as I was listening. One, I'm glad that Eno told that story. Two, it does give me some comfort that the White Sox are trying to Weekend at Bernie's this.
That there is a handler. Just the existence of Mr. Havenkamp, that's a peach, hun.
Yeah, that at least they're like, well, we've got to figure, they can do a better job, but at least knowing that some of that is in place gives me some comfort. The other thing is that it goes into the things that we feared all along that played out nationally with him falling asleep in the dugout this past week. All of it is so difficult. And it's what you brought up, Dan, with the idea of it's hard to root for them because you don't respect them. That's the White Sox have been this week, and some of the headlines have gone over it too. They're trying to get their swagger back. You got to do the swagger jacking you. As your manager, it's going to be hard to get that back. The players themselves have to overcome their own deficiencies and the deficiencies of their manager to get that swagger back. And I'm hopeful. Like, I want them to do it, but I'm very pessimistic about the opportunity that they can.
Yeah, team's got a weird energy. They just do. They've got a weird energy that allows them to stay in their own way. And that's what's hard to root for. is all of these things we pointed out and everything they said about they're purported about La Russa is this and he doesn't stand for this and he this guy will make sure that it's a tight ship. This guy's toast. He's lost. He's barely there. And when he is there, it's for a negative and not a positive. This was a colossal all-time baseball mistake. And such a regrettable mistake.
He's unaware of a hitter's meeting going on in his own clubhouse. How involved is this guy really outside of doing the job on the bench?
Well, then maybe that's a good sign.
Right.
If in fact they really have
siloed him out of it.
Yeah. Quarantined him.
Mm-hmm. And maybe that was the idea of him coming in and we're asking too much of him. That the idea coming in was we feel like we have a really great staff. They don't. And we're going to let our staff handle this. And Tony's going to be Bobby Bowden. That's what it's starting to feel like to me that they're trying to do. But he's not as good at being the CEO as Bobby Bowden was towards the end of his tenure. And maybe that's because he wasn't doing it continuously. Bowden kind of moved into that.
He graduated himself into an executive position because it was his decision.
Right. And he had put all of the guys in place. This guy is going to be in charge of offense. This guy is going to be in charge of defense. This guy is going to talk to me about my choices on reviews and talk to me about down and distance. Like all of that stuff where Tony, I don't want to say like he didn't build the staff, but there were pieces that like, this isn't him. And I don't know if I would trust him to build a staff at this point. So what you do is you try to put together a staff that is going to be self-sufficient. And I think that there are still some pieces of that staff that are not the best. Like if you're going to do this with Tony La Russa, then his staff has to be A's across the board. Everyone has to be an A. And I don't think they have that. I think they got, I think Ethan Katz has the potential to be a really good pitching coach and maybe someday move into the managerial chair. But beyond that, everyone else is kind of like, they're all right. And if you had a manager that could overcome that, it wouldn't matter as much. But if you're asking him to CEO this thing, you've got to have the best of the best lieutenants.
There was a tweet yesterday from Jordan Lazowski, I think of Sox on 35th. He's a White Sox blogger.
Yeah, he does some stuff for NBC Sports Chicago as well. Shout out to Jordan.
Got a list here of average launch angle on balls with an exit velocity of 100 miles an hour or more. These are balls on which your offense should be doing damage. The average launch angle for the Dodgers, number one, is 15.3 degrees. The Yankees, number two, 15.2 degrees. The Twins are third at 14.8 degrees. The White Sox are third from the bottom at 8.8 degrees. And the Sox have the lowest slugging percentage on these outcomes. The lowest slugging percentage on balls hit at or over 100 miles an hour off the bat. That is a philosophical problem. That is on the hitting coach.
Okay.
And say what you want about hitting coaches, and I have, but that is, whether it ultimately is Frank Menachino or not, that's organizational. That starts early. That is when you start like re-engineering swing paths on guys, and it is your job to be measuring this stuff and saying, hey, what can we do to change this? To work on this in the lab with all these machines and all this technology, that's not okay. There's your problem.
It's not okay. I personally am all right with an aggressive approach at the plate. I get the idea of pitchers are throwing you stuff to try to get over early in counts. Make them pay for that. I'm cool with that. The problem that the White Sox have this year is when that doesn't happen, when they end up giving guys 7, 8, 9 pitch innings because of it, they're still hitting pitchers' pitches. It's something I want to ask Stoney about today when we talk to him at noon. They're still doing that, and then they don't adjust off of it. And then you end up in situations late in the game, like yesterday with Vaughn, where pitcher throws five straight balls. I get that you're trying to get your team ahead in the game, in the moment. Take a pitch. Don't help them out in those situations. Because other teams are doing it to you. They're not allowing you to get off the hook. We let them off the hook. So that's problematic overall. I don't know if firing the hitting coach is the issue. I think it's the overall philosophy and then the execution of it. And maybe he's not the right person to help them through it. I'm not sure. But it's definitely something that you have to look at.
Yeah, it's too late for some of this stuff. And you're going to have to hope that guys just catch fire and guys hit the higher ranges of their outcome potential possibilities, yeah, later in the year. It's a lot to hope for, but just hit the damn ball out of the park and everything's going to feel a whole lot better.
I'm looking forward to, I heard Josh Nelson on the Sox Machine podcast bring up a number that, Dan, I think you in particular, of all the people that I know,
oh God,
you in particular are going to hear this number and you're going to be like, mother. So Josh Nelson from the Sox Machine is going to join us.
I'm going to
ask him this question. We are going to talk more Sox. We got some Bear stuff too. We're going to do some NFL stuff. So hang around. Bernstein and Holmes here on The Score.
Sack Machine.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2. On Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Sox Machine.
Josh Nelson, co-host of the Sox Machine podcast.
The White Sox are going to need another starting pitcher to get through the 2022 season and the 162-game marathon. So Rick Hahn's work is not done.
The internet's longest-running White Sox podcast.
What is their biggest concern right now?
That Lurie Garcia is playing way too much.
Amen and hallelujah.
SoxMachine.com.
We're all White Sox fans here. I know this is the home of the Chicago Cubs. We're all rooting for this team to make it to the World Series. There's going to be some highs, and there's going to be some lows, and it's all about trying to find that middle ground.
Josh Nelson with Bernstein and Holmes on 670 The Score.
We want Machine.
Sox Machine.
You find him on Twitter at SoxMachine_Josh. Josh Nelson is with us on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Well, this is, I mentioned to Lawrence earlier, Josh, that I'm doing it again. And there is a disappointing performance where we pick apart all the things that keep going wrong with all their self-imposed headwinds. And then we say, well, Dylan Cease is going. The opponent isn't that good. Maybe they'll take care of business and everything will just end up being okay. I keep doing that, and I haven't been right yet.
I'm doing the same thing, Dan. I think you and I have had this conversation, Dan, all season.
I know.
Since May, we've been feeling this way. And it's August. And, you know, the only bright side is that if the White Sox win the next three games, because Minnesota is facing Toronto, even though it's at home, and Cleveland is facing Houston, even though they're home, there's still a good chance that after this weekend, the Chicago White Sox are tied for first place in the American League Central, just because all three of these American League Central teams are mediocre. And it just so happens to be luck of the draw this weekend for the White Sox that they're facing a bad Texas Rangers team, while their division rivals, Minnesota and Cleveland, are facing true American League contenders.
Josh, I was listening to the podcast yesterday, and I should have probably texted Josh to prompt him for this, but I think he's probably got the numbers on recall. For my partner, Dan Bernstein, Josh, can you go through the additions to this White Sox team by Rick Hahn and what their wins above replacement is?
All right, hold on. Let me get those notes real quick for everyone that's on Twitch watching this stream.
You're just toying with me today, Lawrence.
You're just
pushing buttons on the Sox machine.
Look, I was listening to Josh and Jim do their thing, and because we had an early day yesterday. So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, there's something that I'm going to bring back for the hit tomorrow. Josh, the floor is yours, sir.
All right, so Rick Hahn's offseason, where he signed Lurie Garcia and Josh Harrison and Vince Velasquez and Kendall Graveman and Joe Kelly and traded for Reese McGuire and traded for A.J. Pollock and then flipped Reese McGuire for Jake Diekman. All right, you got about eight players there. And the collective cost of all eight players is more than $45 million, the most money that any White Sox GM has ever spent in an offseason. Collectively, as a group, they're below five WAR total for the 2022 season.
And what is one Fangraphs win worth at the moment? $9 million?
Usually we say about $8 to $9 million, but I have to double check because you have some players that are performing very well that are not getting paid a lot of money, so they may be dragging that down.
Okay, I'm just
so one could look at that and say, you know, the White Sox are paying about $10 million per win. Which, okay, that's not too bad when you look at it in that facet. But when you add eight players, and collectively, they are below five WAR, well, then you need to add impact talent to what you perceive as your championship core, and that is not happening.
That's brutal.
Yeah,
that is brutal. And that isn't just presuming that if the normal, just to fill out your roster for a win. My point is you're going to have to pay for wins. And that's out. You went out to get that stuff. And so you're not even getting one serious overperformance. That's also unlucky, is it not?
I mean, your serious overperformer is Johnny Cueto, which Johnny Cueto accumulates more than half of that WAR.
It didn't cost anything. The guy off the street.
Yeah, exactly. You got him in May. So that even makes it look worse. When you remove Johnny Cueto from the list, it most definitely looks a lot worse. And, you know, we looked at this in the prism of just Rick Hahn's collective work in 2022. And all week, you guys, and rightfully so, every guest that you've had on talking about the White Sox, you know, even Ryan McGuffrey from NBC Sports Chicago is getting on Rick Hahn and the White Sox front office for their poor performance at the trade deadline. But it's just not the trade deadline. Like, they had a bad offseason, and it is a reoccurring theme. And you heard it when Rick Hahn spoke about the trade deadline and when you analyze what happened in the offseason. The White Sox front office is not reading the market at all. They did not have a good grasp of the market pre-lockout when things got super crazy a couple days before the lockout and we saw all these free agents signed. They did not have a good grasp on how the market was going to operate post-lockout, which is why for a long time we were thinking that Craig Kimbrell was still going to be part of the Chicago White Sox roster until April 1st when he got traded a week before opening day for A.J. Pollock. And I think Rick Hahn honestly got surprised again at the trade deadline on how a team like Tampa Bay was able to get David Peralta days before the deadline because they just don't have a good finger on the pulse on how quickly things are going to move, whether it's via trade or via free agency. So to be constructive or to provide constructive criticism to Rick Hahn, because I'm assuming he's still going to have his job for next season, he needs to bring in a new assistant general manager. And that is their specific role, is to understand the market, understand what the market is for free agents, what's the market for trades, to be in the know, be in the hive mind with all of these agents and build those relationships. Because this is something the White Sox are sorely missing. It is proof in the pudding right now as far as the type of results that you're getting. And it's one thing to not be able to sign impact players, Dan. It's another thing when you are spending all of this money and now you can't spend money wisely. That is a really bad combination for any type of general manager in any professional sport. You don't want to be the one known that I can't sign star players and I don't spend your money well. Typically, you don't keep your job.
How bad have things been for Yasmani Grandal since he's come back?
Well, here's some positive numbers for you. Out of 32 catchers that have at least 200 plate appearances in Major League Baseball this year, Yasmani Grandal ranks 31st in WAR, 30th in WRC+. His catching framing runs is 2 above average, which is not bad. His strikeout rate is 48.6%. That is almost 5% worse than Sebby Zavala. When you are looking on paper for the Chicago White Sox catching situation, I can make a very strong case that Sebby Zavala should be your primary catcher for the rest of the season because I don't know what happened to Yasmani Grandal.
That was my question. Why? It can't just be the injuries he's dealt with. It can't. Why?
He can't. That's a great question. I went on Baseball Savant after last night's game, Dan, because in that eighth inning, I think on that particular pitch in 2021, Yasmani Grandal does some serious damage on an inside fastball. And maybe he drives in that run at third base, or even better, he hits a home run. And instead, he hits a fly ball to left field with an exit velocity of 82 miles per hour. And his exit velocity on any type of pitch has taken a dramatic drop off in 2022. And even worse, it is borderline questionable now if Yasmani Grandal could hit a changeup or a breaking pitch. If you are a major league pitcher right now, don't throw him a fastball because he can't hurt you. If you throw a curveball, a slider in the zone, a changeup in the strike zone, Yasmani Grandal can't hurt you. And now the benefit of him batting every day in the lineup, whether it's catcher or DH for the White Sox, is, well, maybe he could walk. He's the slowest major league baseball player. So what benefit is it having him walking and standing on first base? And if somebody hits a gapper, he might get to third. Like, there's not a lot of benefit to playing Yasmani Grandal every day. And I know White Sox fans got really excited because everyone's healthy and everyone's in the lineup. I'm going to make the argument that not everyone should be in the lineup at the same time currently, because Yasmani Grandal is the second worst catcher in Major League Baseball right now for the everyday starters, or at least getting everyday playing time with plate appearances. And I can't believe I'm saying this. The White Sox probably should be playing Sebby Zavala more in this last stretch. Now, that doesn't mean Sebby Zavala should be the starting catcher in 2023. It should still be Yasmani Grandal. But you are in a division race here, and you are running out of time, and you can't wait around and hope that Yasmani Grandal catches fire. At this point, you're just going to have to play the hot hand. And the hot hand is Sebby Zavala over Yasmani Grandal.
This was an enlightening conversation as per usual. And
you want to talk about Andrew Vaughn's defense? I got those updated numbers.
Please go right ahead.
Real quick. Give us in 40 seconds or less.
123 outfielders on Baseball Savant. Andrew Vaughn ranks 121st in outs above average. He has cost the White Sox 9 outs. His success rate on fly balls hit to him is 77%, where the estimated success rate is 88% for major leaguers. And he is the worst outfielder against left-handed batters when he's playing in right field, which you pretty much want to have a decent right fielder when a left-handed batter is at the plate.
Go White Sox.
Andrew Vaughn. White Sox. Andrew Vaughn should not be playing right field at all. If he plays in the outfield, just put him in left field. He is drowning in right field.
Josh, thank you so much. Yeah, we appreciate it.
Awesome. Have a great Friday, everyone.
That is Josh Nelson of the Sox Machine. Listen to him and our buddy Jim Margulis. They do a great job. They've got great stuff. Like, if you want to go through some of it, he's right. Someone was like, wait a minute, but Johnny Cueto's on that list.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he is.
That's how bad it is. Oy. Is that Johnny Cueto is the lion's share of the 5 WAR that this front office's additions put together.
All right, let's take a quick football break, NFL stuff, just to get a reset on what's happening with Deshaun Watson. And there were some strong thoughts on these airwaves that deserve to be heard next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile. Get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
As expected, the NFL appealed the Deshaun Watson suspension decision, which means now it could be heard by Roger Goodell or his own personally appointed designee. And it is going to be his own personally appointed designee and not Roger Goodell himself. It is the former Attorney General of New Jersey who's going to be making some of these decisions. And I guess that is it. That ruling is it. And it gives... The expectation is it's going to give Goodell power to shape this thing however he wants. And we'll have, you know, Mike Florio is going to explain that in just a bit. But I want you to hear what Stacey Dales of NFL Network, a regular contributor to The Score on the Mully and Haw show, what she said about her initial feelings when she found out what that first decision was of a 6-game suspension.
The events that have transpired and the facts and information that came out in this investigation are absolutely painstakingly disgusting. And there's no question an appeal would be levied. It has been. And obviously the NFL is going for a full year versus the 6 games that was astonishingly weak by this outside Judge Robinson. And there's no question that as a female, but also men, somebody who absolutely loves this league, loves the integrity of it, there are more good stories than bad, okay, in these locker rooms, and you guys both know that. This is time to really protect the integrity of this league and women. So there's two points to it for me. And Deshaun Watson's a really good quarterback, and he's obviously made some mistakes. And I don't know, I don't even know how to call them mistakes, but I do believe in, you know, that everybody can change. I do believe we can learn from things that we've done in the past, and I hope that happens for him. But six games is absolute hogwash, and I'm glad the NFL appealed it, and I guess we'll see how things play out.
So there's a part in there where she's talking about change, which I think is interesting to compare to what it is that the NFL wants inside of this appeal. Part of what Roger Goodell and the league want is for him to enter treatment. That is part of what they're looking for with the next part of this.
He won't admit that he has done anything wrong.
But I think that they see a problem here, and that's why I go back to the point that we made a couple days ago. If nothing happened here, then why is he not allowed to go continue searching for massage therapist? Why is it part of the ruling that the judge laid out that this person has to only get massage therapy through team channels?
And
if nothing happened here, why is that the case?
And why are the Browns allowed to say he's shown remorse, he's been remorseful, when that is factually incorrect? And nobody then asked Haslam or anybody else, when and how did he show that remorse, and what exactly did he say?
Shout out to Jack Silverstein for putting together a great thread on Twitter on that.
He did. And also, the other thing that Abu did was he pointed out that people responded to that saying, well, you know they're not going to answer that. You know they're not going to say. And he said, that's fine. And I'm so glad he did this, because I almost shouted out, yes, that he compared asking questions like that to running out a ground ball or to running on a drop third strike. You're probably going to be out. 99% of the time you're going to be out, but that's what you do. That's the job. That is how you are taught to do it, to make them answer it in their way. Because maybe you learned something a little that you didn't know before. Like asking Jed Hoyer about Juan Soto. They weren't going to get Juan Soto. You knew what that answer was going to be, but wait a second. Maybe gave you a little clue about how far away they actually are from their competitive window. That's the kind of thing. And in those cases where Jimmy Haslam and the other Browns official, like, well, we found he's been remorseful. Really? How? When? What'd he say? What sounded like remorse to you? Because we haven't heard it. We haven't heard it. And that's critical here. And that's why I think like either or, there's going to be a large fine as part of this. It's going to hit the Browns. It's going to hit him. And I think that however this happens, that we're going to see things come out with a little bit more sense of reason and justice.
Another thing that has to do with this, Dan, is the financial part of it. The Browns got real slick with their contract. And I think that the league is like, wait a minute. We're not going to let you get away with allowing this guy to have all of his money. And you guys are winking at everyone going, see how we structured his contract? Because we knew we were probably going to lose him for a while. So the first year of his contract is inconsequential to the $230 million of guaranteed dollars that we're going to give him. I think that that's where the league, those two specific places, them getting him out of here for more than a year, it affecting his contract, there being a financial penalty, which was not put upon him by the judge, and we see what you're trying to do, and we want him to go to therapy. All of those things are inside of what the league's appeal is based on.
This was Mike Florio's best explanation for the likelihood of the suspension and or fine increasing.
I'll be stunned if the NFL doesn't appeal this, because she found, Judge Robinson did, that Deshaun Watson is guilty. He did it. And even though she didn't make a big deal about this, she was very tactful, she found that he lied about it. Categorical denial of wrongdoing. Other denials about state of arousal during massage therapy sessions. Other witnesses, including massage therapists who vouched for him, said that, yeah, he was aroused during these massages. He categorically denied it ever happening. She found that he wasn't telling the truth. And I think when this ends up with Roger Goodell. He's going to take the thread that she put in the findings of fact, and he is going to turn it into a tapestry of an attack on Deshaun Watson for doing exactly what he was accused of doing. And then that's where they can part ways with Judge Robinson. And it will take a very delicately drafted decision to do this in a way that people will support, because we respect, the league will say, her factual findings. We just disagree with her in the application of the policy to the fact.
So there it is. That's where things stand right now. And it was definitely awkward watching the NFL PA rep explain to Watson as he's coming off the field that the appeal had been filed. Now it becomes, there's some procedural stuff that, quite honestly, I'm not qualified to talk about. And there's some legal stuff, same thing, that is going to play out with which of them is going to take the legal route. This could play out for a really long time. Like, it's not over by a long shot. But the NFL does have the right to appeal. The NFLPA has the right to defend Deshaun Watson. And I figured that that's what was going to go on, that it was going to be a light penalty for him. When I saw that on Sunday, the NFLPA was like, we're totally fine with what the judge says. Totally okay. We're not going to appeal a thing. It made me, I go, oh yeah, so he's not going to get popped as big as people think he probably should.
You've always made this point about understanding a union's role is generally to protect its most vulnerable members, and also understand that there's a time and a place to go hard on someone's behalf, and maybe there's a time to keep your powder dry on some of what you can do and what you can say and how you say it.
Yes. He's going to ask them to exhaust everything to defend him, and that's okay, but they need to be very careful in what their messaging is. They aren't the only union that needs to do that, but they are definitely one in this case where you need to be careful about what you put out in the public on this.
We have all the latest news from Halas Hall. The Bears are practicing. I saw a little I formation being run.
What?
Some of the highlights. They didn't bring me in here to run the I formation. No, they fired you. They brought in somebody else who might run the I formation. And apparently a young rookie is displaying some blazing speed. And Tevin Jenkins is still nowhere to be found. Mark Grody will get us updated on all of it next on Bernstein and Holmes on The Score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.